The Sons and Daughters Podcast. Discover and walk in the life that Jesus lives inside of you. Hosted by Andy and Tina Hayner, leaders of Full Speed Impact Ministry.
Hi, welcome to the Sons and Daughters Podcast. I'm Tina Hayner, and with me right here is my delightful husband. He brings a lot of joy and happiness and light where he goes. Delightful.
Well, believe it or not, brothers and sisters, I do not pay her to say such things. She is just an encouraging woman. And yes, I am Andy Hayner. For those of you that know me, wondering who on earth does Tina have on the show with her today. There you go. We are leaders of Full Speed Impact Ministries, and I'm here with my lovely, always lovely wife, Tina Hayner. And we're excited to be with you on the Sons and Daughters Podcast, which is our podcast devoted to encouraging you to know, not just know in your mind who you are, but to actually have the experiential knowledge of what it is to walk as a son or a daughter of the living God. Because Jesus, what is our prototype? That's very, you know, one of the things that's been a big blessing to me that I learned from Brother Curry Blake. Read the Gospels, very often we make the mistake of identifying with the disciples because we're often, you know, learning to follow Jesus and to discover him just the way that he was. But the end result of the revelation of who Jesus is realizing that's what he makes us. Yeah. He is the prototype of what it looks like to walk as a human being filled with the presence of God. Walking
firstborn of many brethren.
Yes. So we have been made into a new species of humanity when we get born above, from above, and we become partakers of the divine nature. So anyway, that's what this is all about, in case you were wondering.
Yeah.
It's funny, we say it a different way every time, but that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to say it. But
there is.
Walking in who you are as his son and daughter.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, that is just the ministry that God has given to us, whether it be by podcast or whether, you know, teaching or doing conferences or whatever. To me, ministry is not so much something to be accomplished, but to help people realize what has been accomplished.
Yeah.
You know,
what is theirs, what they do possess already.
It's not trying to fix people. It's showing them that the cross of Christ and his indwelling life fixes us. It made us new. The old is gone. The new has come. But we need we can help one another to have our eyes open to what he's done. I mean, it's funny, that's what Ephesians, you know, Paul, his main prayer at the beginning part is, I just pray that the eyes of your heart be flooded with light, that you could see
see and know, have that convinced.
Yeah. Because a lot of times people are like, I know, and their heart is not seeing it. You know, their mind maybe has grasped.
Right. And that's a start.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you're like, I know, and but that's not what's actually flooding you. You know, it's interesting. I've never been in a flood, but I've always been attracted to, you know, these YouTube videos with awesome displays of nature, you know, tornadoes, volcanoes, floods, and man, a flood is an amazing thing. I mean, there's just like no stopping it. Like there's a river running, raging running, not just like, you know,
bubbling, but,
you know, yeah,
raging,
raging through your house now, you know,
and yeah.
What can withstand that? I mean, all the it's going to put the furniture where it wants, you know, and it will leave a mark. And for us, it's not a destructive river, but praying that the eyes of our heart be flooded, that things get taken out by the flood,
right?
That marks are made, that you become, implanted with the sediment of heaven, that people look at you and you've been infused with this awesome light. And that's what God wants for each one of us, to see it. Well, it has been a little while since we've had an opportunity to record a podcast. I guess we should stop saying that it's a weekly podcast, and it will become something that we are intending to do it weekly, but I'd like to be a man of my word. And what I'm finding is that our schedules and just prioritizing our time according to the Spirit, it's been less than weekly. But we appreciate your patience and hope that when we are able to record, that it's a blessing to
still.
You.
Yes, absolutely.
But as it is, it's going to be another couple weeks at least, because next week I fly out of the country with a team of seven, of which I are one, so six more, and five are from here in our local ministry.
Yeah. Young adults.
Young adults that are just tearing up the world. I had a minister friend of mine reach out to me this week and say, "Hey, what's going on? How's your ministry going?" And I basically said, you know, since the beginning of the year, some people that we've been involved with mentoring, and we're not trying to take any of the credit, because ultimately Holy Spirit is doing it. We're just sort of along side as
support.
Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes I feel like we're in the stands cheering them on. Sometimes maybe a little bit more like on the sideline or, you know, but the coach pretty much does his job during the week.
Yeah.
And it's them that take over and play the game. You know, they're the ones that rightly, you know,
make those split decisions. Are
doing the work. And since the beginning of the year, you know, there's been at least three churches started by the people that are
these young people.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for the most part, you know, we're working in the shadows and buying pizza.
offering up our living occasionally.
Yeah. And this past weekend, they gathered up some of their friends and two of the young ladies that have really started to blossom. They came to know the Lord probably 3 months ago ish, and have already been sharing Christ with other people and their families, and they've gotten involved in as community and doing life together. Mm-hmm. They're part of two of the young ladies. They're part of Tina's WOGs, the Women of God now, and as they can, as you know, as their schedule allows. And so, some of the young guys that have been leading that group that was instrumental in them coming to Christ, took them out, baptized them, and that was really fun.
Yeah.
To watch, and so we
perfect
thought
weekend.
Yeah, it was a great way to end the weekend.
It had
for sure.
warmed up and pretty and clear.
Yeah.
I'm sure the water was still cold.
Yeah. But we thought, you know, we've never done a podcast on baptism.
Sure.
Water baptism.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So I think it would be really neat to talk about that, because unfortunately, it's either been underemphasized or overemphasized in a lot of different circles. And it's a beautiful thing when it's understood and when it's appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of looking back on it, to me, I think we are in some ways really impacted by the Protestant Reformation being a theological debate. And everybody was so, you wanted to emphasize so much that we are not saved by works.
By grace.
That, which is right.
Yes.
You know, it is absolutely true that there is no work that saves us.
No.
Yet, you read through the New Testament and you cannot
get away
from the importance of baptism.
Baptism, right.
And there are even to the point where there are verses that very much make it sound like baptism and salvation are synonymous.
Right. Mm-hmm. So intertwined.
Which has led some to conclude that you cannot be in our age, that you cannot be saved without being water baptized. Mm-hmm. And that's not my position. I don't believe it's the position of the New Testament. However, there are strong arguments, for things like that. It's not because, you know, people are crazy. For example, 1 Peter, chapter 3:21 says, corresponding to that, and he's talking about Noah's flood and mm-hmm. how, only a few were brought safely through the water. And he says, corresponding to that, Noah's flood and being brought safely through the water, mm-hmm. baptism now saves you.
Mm-hmm. Here you go.
But then he says, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, mm-hmm. but an appeal to God for a good conscience. So this is obviously a faith act.
Statement.
It is a faith act, which is what real baptism is. It's a response to the gospel.
Correct.
Of saying, I want my sins to be washed away through Jesus Christ. I repent. And mm-hmm. and as a demonstration of
that he has washed away my sins.
Of my faith, mm-hmm. I am going to obey your command to be baptized. Mm-hmm. And to, but, I mean, think of it that way. When you think of the gospel as a command, the gospel is a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Yeah. Confess with your mouth.
Exactly.
And believe with your heart.
Nobody would say that believing or confessing with their mouth that Jesus is Lord or any of those things is a work that saves us. And hopefully nobody would be so theologically sophisticated and hair splitting that they decide to contradict the scriptures to say, no, well, you don't have to confess that he's Lord.
Right.
You know, and you could conceive, you know, of ideas. Mm. Well, what if they're mute? You know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people do.
Right. You haven't got anything better to think of or do, I guess.
I mean, I've been to seminary, believe me. You know, people argue about
the silliest
things. And honestly, it's like some of our political discussions today, mm-hmm. you know, that you bring up
these hypotheticals.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what if an 8-year-old girl gets pregnant by a rape, you know, then, how much do you want to keep the door open for all abortions under any circumstances that you're going to bring up a scenario
like that
that may have never happened in the history of the universe? So, so we can spend all our time talking about possible exceptions, but I think it would be really neat just to talk about the importance of baptism so that we don't minimize it, so that we understand what it is to be for believers. And to do that, I might actually just bring it up in this context. I have frequently, and not so much anymore, so I don't know why, but I would see pop up on my Facebook feed someone saying, is it necessary for someone to be water baptized in order to be truly saved? And then you would see, you know, the theological brawl, going mm-hmm. on underneath.
So it begins.
And yeah, exactly. And I'd let that go on for a couple of days, and then I would pop back into it, and I would make the comment. I said, this is not a good or helpful question.
Yeah.
Bad
question.
when why on earth would we seek to find the bare minimum mm-hmm. of what someone must or must not do and to go to heaven,
qualify.
Which is mm-hmm. what they mean by being saved.
Right.
But the real question is, can we obey Jesus and be obedient disciple makers without baptizing?
Absolutely not.
Because Jesus says, go make disciples,
baptizing them
in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
No way. Yeah. To obey him, you have to follow through.
Yeah. And not so much on their part, they have to be, but for the mindset of the average believer mm-hmm. who our ministry is make disciples,
right,
that baptizing them
is the very first thing Jesus says.
Yes.
I mean, there's a list there, and baptizing them is the first thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's important too. It's important for disciples to have their walk with the Lord kicked off, so to speak, or, you know, established on that foundation of obedience.
Yeah.
And because it's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
To come in and say, I'm going to go get dunked in water. I mean, that's...
It is a very...
That's kind of strange to the world.
And so one significance, so we'll just start off with this. One thing that I think is significant is that there is a baptizer and a baptizee in this. Like someone is making a disciple, someone is becoming a disciple in the act of baptism. And so Jesus wants everyone who comes into the kingdom and into his family to have someone, a human being's hands upon them.
A caretaker.
Who is in the act of baptizing them saying, I'm beginning with you and I am with you for this disciple making process. Mm-hmm. And so welcome to the family with my hands upon you in Jesus' name, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yes, the word baptism to me is kind of a confusing word if you think about it, because they would have read that as immersing them. And it was really clear that it had this idea of dipping or immersing so that, you know, if a piece of cloth was immersed into dye, it would come out
completely
different. Mm-hmm. That it would have this idea of dunking.
Right. Well, and if you think about what baptism is intended to symbolize, it's symbolizing death and resurrection, right?
Exactly.
The death of the old self and rising to walk again in newness of life.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a picture.
Exactly. And so that is true. It is a picture. It's like 1 Peter just talked about. Mm-hmm. It is like Noah.
Yeah, them coming through the flood.
There was an old creation that was corrupt, that did not please God, that had gone astray and gone its own way.
Yeah.
And God sent a flood of water to wash all of that away, to wash away the old creation. And then Noah and his family, through being in the ark, came through on the other side. And so we, being in Christ, we agree with that.
Yeah.
Baptism is saying, my old life is under the judgment of God, and I need to step into the power of the cross, that in me, putting my faith in Christ, my faith shouldn't be just in the quiet of my heart, you know, with every eye closed and every head bowed and no one else seeing. I slip my hand up. Oh, great. Now, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But that there is a whole self in proclamation of I recognize that everything I was apart from Jesus, by my faith in him, I am submitting that to death, to the power of the cross, so that my flesh, my emotions, my memory, my past, my future, everything that I would have been, could have been, or did do apart from Christ is dead and does not come through. And that I, through Christ, I rise up to walk in union with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you start off dry and you come up carrying water. And you're just drenched. And that's what we are. We are drenched in the life of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we come out as new creations. The old is gone. And so one of the things that was kind of fun is that leading up to the baptisms, I just pulled each of the young ladies that were being baptized aside and just told them, you know, when you go into the water, that you already have faith in Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what you're doing is you're using your faith in Christ to activate the power of his salvation in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're submitting your body, your soul, all that you are apart from him. And you are stepping into the power of the cross, that it dies there.
Yeah.
And everything that the enemy planted in your life, everything that he attached to you, mm-hmm. cannot come through to the other side.
That's amazing.
Because it has nothing left to grip onto. You've already submitted it to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are raised back up, you are a new creation. And he is one with you and you are one with him. And you get to walk in that. Like you're already on the other side of death and judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are in Christ. And, you know, for each of them, they seemed really touched by that.
Yeah.
But, you know, saying that, some people of kind of a fleshly theological mind might say, so aren't you, what are you trying to say? Like baptism saves them or whatever. And it seems like sometimes we don't get the good of what's there because we're so fighting
cynical
over
and, yeah.
a Roman Catholic Protestant debate. Mm. It's like we have these PTSD moments because it was wrong. One of the things that the Roman Catholic tradition had done is that they had looked for a way to have empowered priests that you had to go to them for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And they inserted themselves into the place of Christ.
Right. You got to have that kid baptized so it doesn't go to hell. You got to keep taking communion so that you can have Christ in you.
Yeah, and you need to keep going to confession to a priest so that you can have your sins absolved.
Forgiven. Yeah. I mean, completely dependent upon them instead of ultimately on Jesus.
Yeah. And it's right to take those battles on and to take them on with the Word of God. So I'm not minimizing being theologically, I guess, accurate.
Yes.
We need to rightly divide the Word of truth. However, in so emphasizing that baptism doesn't save you, I am not comfortable saying it's merely symbolic. Yes, it is symbolic, but it's like a prophetic act.
Mm-hmm.
It communicates, but it not only communicates, in the act, you are activating something. You are activating faith.
It's a command to be obeyed, and you can't, who would want to say of anything that the Lord's told us to do, a command, oh, but you don't have to do that to be saved. No, that's not the point. You do it to obey your Lord.
Amen.
you don't do it because you're trying to seal in your salvation.
And
you do it because Jesus told you to do it.
Exactly. And part of the neat thing about baptism is like usually people are very much in the process of learning how to obey.
Right.
But once it's in their heart, Lord,
I want to obey.
I want to obey everything you say.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do that for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I will gain spiritual maturity, spiritual strength, spiritual understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, when you first come to Christ, it could be a little overwhelming. You know, you're seeing so many things that you didn't see before.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, if you had lived in a dark place for a long time and then the lights come on, you know, when you look down, you may realize, ooh, there's so much dirt and sores and stuff on me that I didn't realize, you know, that at first it makes you feel uncomfortable about what you see.
Mm-hmm.
But the neat thing about baptism is it's saying, Lord, you're going to be showing me stuff that
from now on, I'm all in.
But I'm all in.
Right.
I am yours. There's one big yes in my heart
right.
is Jesus, whatever you say. I will obey. I will trust you, and I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
And so baptism starts there.
Yeah, like we said, I mean, it sets the stage. It sets that pattern for, you know, yes, this is in the world that I was bizarre or you know strange, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You ask me to do it, I'm going to do it, so that those other things that maybe seem strange,
right.
you know, that happen sometimes. The Lord asks you, like, no, I'm going to do that.
Right.
I'm going to follow through because it goes against the stream, the tide of the way the world works.
Yeah, exactly. In you know, partly too, you know, one of the things that we're dealing with now, and this is what brings a lot of the questions and confusion, what we're dealing with now is that oftentimes there is a separation between someone coming to real saving faith, sure. initial faith mm-hmm. in Christ, and them at the same time coming to understand what baptism means. Mm-hmm. And then once they understand that, of, okay, well, you know,
courage
when
to
can,
obey,
when do we do it?
When
right?
do we do it? Yeah.
So, you know, then there's these scenarios of, well, what if they really believe and then they haven't actually done this? And I would say,
yes.
I would say a couple things. One is that as we share the gospel and encourage people to put their faith in Christ, that it should, you know, at some point they're like, okay, I believe. Now what?
Yeah,
what should I do?
It should be in the discussion.
The answer mm-hmm. should be, well, Jesus has given us a really simple thing to act on your faith, and that's to
be baptized. Yeah.
And then you can explain how the gospel is a picture mm-hmm. of death and resurrection, mm-hmm. and we do that in union with Jesus. Jesus was baptized. He was mm-hmm. baptized into identifying with us. We're baptized into identifying with him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All of that stuff, right? And to me, that is how this should go. But if we're not at that place yet, a lot of people, unfortunately, they get a little bit of the gospel piecemeal, pray a prayer.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you're in.
Yeah.
And I would say in the New Testament, as I read the New Testament, that water baptism was pretty much the sinner's prayer.
Yes, it was
quote,
what
unquote,
they did.
To, you know, I want to be saved. Now
what do I do?
Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized.
Right. There's water right there. What,
exactly.
Why can't we do it now?
And there's even instances very clearly, Acts chapter 10, Peter's preaching the gospel, and the Gentiles believe, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that, okay, well, you know, they don't really have the Spirit of God. They're not really saved. They haven't really believed mm-hmm. until the water gets applied.
No.
But it was kind of like the starting gate, the startup package.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So one way I think of it is, I don't know if you've ever bought a new cell phone, but you usually...
I had this thought as we were talking earlier.
Oh, really? Go ahead.
Just you can go there.
You do your way. Let me see
no,
if it matches
mine. All I was going to say is, I can't remember what we were talking about. It was like, I was thinking of a smartphone, how, you know, there's so much capability inside the cell phone and how we need... for us, I need my kids, my husband, a lot of times to show me, you know, oh, there's this app and that app and this does this and that does that. And you're like, I didn't even know that could do that.
Right.
Or, you know, I think when we were talking about what's in you already and that role of helping that come out, you know, it's not that you put it in there. It's that God's put it in there.
Yeah.
It's a whole package. But we're unaware a lot of times, or maybe we're aware, but we don't know how to access.
Yeah. Recently I went through a thing where, I needed to upgrade my phone because my old one is just, you know, seeing its better days. So I'm used to coming home with the phone already, you know, like from the store, from the cell phone
ready
store.
Ready to go.
But in this instance, I was on the phone with customer service and they mm-hmm. said, okay, we're going to mail you a new one out and then you can put the old one back. And I was like, so what do I do when you get there? Well, it'll have activation instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had already purchased the phone. The phone was already
was
mine. Mm-hmm. It was for a little while, not in my physical possession, but it was mine. Then I had it. And there was like this 15, 30 minute process where it's mine, but it's not activated.
Mm-hmm.
It's even in my hand, mm-hmm. but it's not activated yet. And so...
And
the power
that it has to do things is not accessed.
And I had to go through an activation process.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the neat things about, you know, one, we receive salvation strictly by believing in Jesus Christ and the gospel. But there's not just receiving it, but activating it so that we're actually experiencing and walking in the power of his salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Baptism in water, baptism in the Spirit are the two things that are the activation process mm-hmm. for the Christian life. that we receive his salvation by faith, but we activate it by stepping out in faith. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, we don't, what good is a, I got a new cell phone. Well, are you going to charge it? You know,
yeah.
Well, it's not mine just because it's charged. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be charged to be mine. I mean, that's nonsense. Like, why would you receive it and not charge it?
Right.
Why not turn it on? You know, mm-hmm. So why receive the power of the Holy Spirit in you, but never allow the Holy Spirit to flow out from you? Mm-hmm. You know, well, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why, you know, receive union with Christ and never walk in it?
Mm-hmm.
And why do it little by little? I mean, that's the whole thing, is like right from the beginning, you're all in,
yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And then there's growth, but it's different. It's not growing into something like it's too easy for people to think they're growing to become more qualified or they're growing to improve something. No, there's a clean break.
Mm-hmm.
There's a clean break. And yes, there is growth, but it is a growth in something you already.
Well, as a brand new person.
Yes.
It's not fixing old. It's that I'm maturing as a new creature.
Yeah. So it's interesting. One of the ways that I think of it is that, you know, you could make a case that we say things like, well, you don't have to have a wedding to be married.
Right.
Right. Which mm-hmm. is true. Which is true. But very often wedding and starting your marriage are synonymous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they could say, don't you know that when you were married, or don't you know that on your wedding day,
mm-hmm.
you know, you pledged this and this
right.
and you became one,
mm-hmm.
et cetera.
Right.
Well, you know, and then there's, well, we're married, but that doesn't, you don't have to have a honeymoon in order to be married. You know,
right.
you don't have to consummate your marriage in order
to be married.
Oh, true. I mean, we were married for about 5 hours, but we were married,
yes.
you know, for those 5 hours
yeah,
before there was any consummation.
Mm-hmm.
But why on earth would you get married without consummating your marriage?
Right.
And so, you know, the New Testament writers are not trying to be theologically technical in a lot of places. So, a lot of times they will say, don't you know that when you were baptized, you died with him and you rise with him? And they're referring mm-hmm. back to, it's the assumption that every believer was baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And well, does that mean spiritual baptism or physical baptism?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because the two were joined
mm-hmm.
and we should not separate what mm-hmm. God has joined.
Mm-hmm.
There was a physical acting of faith, and that didn't save them in the sense of it being a work. But if a baby is born and it's not breathing, they don't breathe in order to earn life.
Mm-mm.
They breathe
because they are alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the same way that when we're baptized or when we call on the name of the Lord or when we're filled with the Spirit or anything like that, we're not doing that to earn anything. We're doing it because we're alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a demonstration, it's an activation of life, and it's transitioning from a mere theoretical faith to James said, well, you say you believe, great, I'll show you my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And true faith that truly saves is actually a faith that moves us to the point that we act on it.
Right.
And baptism is that first act that's like, yes, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why so often it was referred back to, because the assumption was, if you're a believer, you've been baptized
mm-hmm.
into right. the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You've been immersed into him like a cloth that gets dipped into Jesus, that you were just plain, and now you are just saturated with him,
mm-hmm.
and you can't separate the cloth from the dye any longer.
All right.
As a detailer, you know, there's times that we're called in to, you know,
clean
stains out of upholstery. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of stains that, we can get out. But when you think about it, any upholstery is just stained. If it's a color, it's stained that color.
Right.
And there's a certain, you know, amount that you want to, you expect, okay, we can get this coffee stain out of here, or we can get this food stain out of here, but you don't want to get the dye out.
Right.
And baptism is like being dyed with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there is no separation, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's good for believers to so emphasize that baptism doesn't save us that you forget what baptism does, that it does allow people to act in their faith. Mm-hmm. And I think very often if we start people out with, you know, it's so important that you not think that you're doing anything to save yourself, that you don't do anything. We've got a generation of believers that are theologically right that don't do anything. They never act on their faith because they're always like, well, works don't save you. Well, you don't have anything to worry about because you don't have any works at all. Mm. And I'm worried because that kind of faith that has no works at all isn't even alive.
Right.
It's like it's stillbirth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the baby's not breathing, and it's concerning.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm trying to get you to do something to save yourself, but I'm trying to find signs of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking how, you know, God is spirit. And he created a physical realm to have expression of his spirit, and that, you know, you could kind of view that baptism a lot that way in salvation, that there's an activity in the spirit and something that's happened. But God's desire, he wanted a physical world, a physical expression of what's going on in the spirit. So, you know, so it's not less valuable or less important to the Lord. It's very important, and it's neat too that, I mean, Jesus set an example too for us.
Yeah,
you know, he thought it was important enough that he got baptized.
Sure.
You know, so that we could, you know, with these theological arguments, no one can go back and say, well, Jesus didn't even do it, because Jesus did do it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, and it's, I think that brings us to another thing that is important to understand that we're dealing with now that they weren't really dealing with in the early church. That there was a common starting point because John the Baptist ministry really did pave the way for people understanding this is a clean break. Mm-hmm. This is you recognizing that, you know, you're preparing yourself to say, okay, I'm undone and I need to be cleansed of my sins. I'm repenting of my sins. And it started in Israel, but that was the same command and message that the Lord and the apostles brought out to the Gentiles, right? Mm-hmm. Peter preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, same message. Jesus is Lord, repent for the forgiveness of your sins. The Holy Spirit falls on them. They see the Holy Spirit at work and they say, now who can deny the water? And he gave orders that they be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Mm.
And that wasn't because, you know, I've heard some people say, well, baptism is just for Jews. No. Come on, people. Don't be that way. It's just weird that people slice up the Bible that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's neat that you see this as a stake in the ground for every believer, like before baptism is like before Christ. And after baptism is since coming to know the Lord and moving forward. You know, there's one thing that we have to deal with is false mindsets and false traditions, false understandings. And I was in that camp for some time. One, for some reason, you know, the believers that I was around and encouraging me to get into God's Word weren't really talking to me about the importance of and the meaning of being baptized. Mm-hmm. And I thought because the word had been applied wrongly, well, I was already baptized. So I'd read those passages mm-hmm. about being baptized. And I was like, see, I was already baptized. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started okay, in the New Testament is baptism, parents presenting their infants in pretty white dresses to be sprinkled with water right. by a clergyman, or was it believing adults responding to the gospel?
Right.
And you don't have to be adults, but old enough to understand the gospel and
right,
respond.
To make that decision.
And consistently,
yeah,
without exception, it is people responding to the gospel and personally identifying with Jesus Christ. It wasn't something that was done for them when they were
it was something that they did. They
unconscious
stepped
of it. Mm-hmm. And there was a personal decision.
Right.
Now, that said, that may not be somebody's tradition. And so you're not going to say, hey, believe, and, you know, I'm going to slam you under like Nacho Libre. You know, I'm worried about your salvation. You sneak up behind somebody and throw them in. It's not that way. But it's part of the discipleship process.
Yeah.
And in coming to those convictions and conclusions, part of what the baptism is breaking free
yes.
from those traditions. That it activates that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really important. I think of your friend from China
mm-hmm.
and part of the mindsets they had about baptism there. Why don't you share that story? Because it actually
yeah.
really helped her personally.
She kind of came into our lives friends and believed in God, and through friendship and many conversations sharing the gospel, she put her faith in Jesus, and we began to talk about baptism, and she got stuck for a while because she did have a mindset that yes, I believe in Jesus, I'm not ashamed, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Like there was something that she had to accomplish or do or something she would know
right.
that she was ready or not. And she just had, you know, doubts, and she did struggle with doubting her salvation a lot of times. And
her doubts were not related to whether Jesus is real or whether it was her personal
God, right. No, God had,
that she doubted.
She knew, like, God is real, and Jesus is real, and I need him. It was that relationship, that connection,
yeah.
that commitment. And so it was that commitment, I think, is a key for her. And I just remember the Holy Spirit, I mean, that conversation, he just dropped something in that's like, this will help her understand. I talked to her a little bit about, she was married, and I said, you know, before you got married, did you and your husband doubt sometimes, is this the one? Should I do this? Should we get married? Should we be together? And she's like, yes, we did. We had a lot of doubts. And then I said, and then you went through with getting married. And since then, have you had doubts?
Mm-hmm.
And she got it. She's
yeah.
like, no,
yeah.
I mean, cause we are. And I said, that's kind of the way baptism is. It's like,
you may doubt whether you're going to have a happy marriage or whether you're going to make it through to the end, but you're no longer doubting, are you married?
Right. No longer doubting. This is the one. And
right.
I'm committed.
Because we are married.
We are. He's committed to me and I'm committed to him because it's done.
Yeah.
And there's something about making that firm decision and doing it in front of everybody,
mm-hmm.
Like the wedding kind of thing,
yeah.
That removes all doubt. Again, it's a grace.
And it's kind of hard to be, it was funny, but she couldn't see it at the time. But stepping on the other side of it, it was like, you, of course you're going to doubt whether you're fully committed, because until you
obey
in baptism,
right.
and which is demonstrating your full commitment,
mm-hmm.
until you do that, then there is a part of you
that is
holding out.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's this sort of weird thing where you feel like you need to be ready, But the truth is, once you, and we showed her, and this was helpful, we showed her from the gospel, what does Jesus require for someone to be baptized?
Yes.
They simply need to believe in him as Lord and Savior.
Repent and believe.
That's it. I mean, and repenting is simply, I'm turning away and I believe that he is my Lord, my Savior.
My self-sufficiency and my trust in him.
And what else? We asked her, and what
else? Anything else?
What else? Do they need to do that and prove it out for a couple of years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the almost like, well, we don't want to end in divorce, so let's live together for a while.
Yeah, same mentality.
And people have that mindset. Well, let's just live with Jesus for a while, and then we'll get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
But I would encourage you, the Lord really delights in quickly and not rushing,
right?
Which is very important because the neat thing about it is Tina had walked alongside of this young lady for some time, but brought the discussion up and turned it towards the scriptures, and we saw she went from constantly second-guessing herself
her salvation
to having a confidence and security in the Lord that convinced me experientially once and for all that baptism, it should, until it happens, should have a great focus of the early stages of discipleship, and that is a significant thing that God wants as a grounding point, a stake in the ground, a definite turning of the page for our Christian lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only other thing it would be, if you're a parent with believing kids that you're raising, you know, there will come times where your children are like, well, I want to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for you to think, well, are they ready?
Do they really understand? Right.
And some of it would be, you know, you need to ask them.
Yeah, have that.
Why?
Have the discussion.
What
does
this mean?
Make sure there's communication.
Those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I think most of we have three kids and they're all loving the Lord and following him.
Yes.
And I would say two were baptized and that was it.
And they were baptized the same day my friend was.
Yep. And they were moving and they've moved forward and look back on that day as the stake in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one of our other children, one of our children was baptized at a young age, because she asked to be baptized and she articulated a basic understanding of what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
But then the truth is her brain is still forming, right?
Correct.
And so, yeah, as far as she understood and she
was obeying.
Believed and obeyed. But then, you know, as they grow, other parts of their brain are
activated,
formed. and those parts may not be saved yet. I'm saying that facetiously, but
right.
But as she came to deeper commitment and honestly recommitment,
and a call of, are you going to surrender this?
She has decided to be baptized again, and I think she's done that maybe a number of times, but. You know, the neat thing about it is the Lord doesn't say...
He doesn't put a command in there, you can only get baptized once.
You can only get baptized once or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, as the understanding of what it means to be committed to Christ, I think it's fairly common.
Yeah, and she's not doing it to secure her salvation.
No.
It's totally not that belief system. It's coming out of a repentance again and realizing, I need to, repent and fully trust him, and I'm going to, going to express that. So
to the point that this feels like a restart.
A restart. Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
I think sometimes we can get a little bit too hung up on, are they ready? That we project into people that we're discipling a lack of confidence in the Lord's work in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And which is one of the reasons that I don't believe that it's a good disciple-making practice to push people off that have demonstrated that they do understand what it means to be committed to Christ, mm-hmm. that they are fully committed, mm-hmm. you know, that as soon as that is there, mm-hmm. then I believe the Lord actually wants us to encourage them to put your whole self in,
right.
you know, mm-hmm. and let's start the growth process from that standpoint of an activated faith mm-hmm. that expresses itself in real obedience to the commands of the Word of God, mm-hmm. You know, that you are immersed into not just a theoretical life with Christ and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but you're immersed into an actual living, walking experience mm-hmm. in union with the Father, in Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what discipleship is. It is not just believing certain things, but it's obeying. That it's a faith-filled obedience, that you're seeing things that you never saw before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the Lord, I believe, wants us to understand, think, and practice baptism. So mm-hmm. hopefully this was an encouragement to you and will sharpen your disciple-making process and also help you to be able to maybe articulate this to others that are around you mm-hmm. as to why this is important, what it is, what it isn't,
mm-hmm.
And maybe be a resource for you in the future.
Yes.
Speaking of resources, if you'd like additional resources from our ministry, you'll find them at fullspeedimpact.com, including our online academy, the Full Speed Impact Academy, and a complete catalog of our previous podcasts. And we will be uploading a new video, Lord willing, the next time we get an opportunity, Sunday evenings at 6. Meanwhile, brothers and sisters, we encourage you to walk in the fullness of Jesus Christ and impact the world around you.